Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren with WFIU, WTIU News. This week, we're joined by Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. It's the second week in March. Hello and welcome.
It's good to be here, Joe. Good to see you.
Don't forget, you can add your question to news@indianapublicmedia.org. You can tweet us at Ask the Mayor. So let's just start like we always do. You know, a month ago, we talked about how high COVID numbers were, but they were plateauing. Here it is a month later already, and we're seeing daily counts fall to, at least in Monroe County, single-digit numbers, hospitals saying that they're catching their breath. But I think the other thing to keep in mind is hospitals are also having to catch up on other surgeries and elective procedures that they weren't able to do for a few months.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of a breather for them, and maybe the pressure's off of the COVID, but yeah, there's been delays on a lot of, you know, elective surgeries and things, and just even people just going and seeing the doctor, which could lead to, you know, some more serious issues for people. I think we're going to see a ramp up in the coming months of that, you know, and just people who put something off for a while and now they're getting it dealt with. And you know, which I feel for those healthcare workers, because they have worked so hard for the last 2 years, they're exhausted. And it's a tough business to be in, but we so greatly appreciate every single one of them taking care of us and our community. And it's just great to see those numbers down. So once again, that pressure of the pandemic and the experience of COVID is primarily behind us. We've learned a lot. It's had to change a lot of systems to adapt, and you know, we're better for it, but you know, a lot of people were very horribly affected, and the healthcare workers just kind of stood their ground and carried us through.
I wanted to also just get your response to, you know, the war, the heartbreaking images, stories, people that we're seeing, and people here locally wanting to show solidarity to Ukrainians. Just your response to, you know, what you're seeing and what's happening there in Terre Haute.
Well, you know, I've heard several people, lots of conversations going on about it. They're always the same. I mean, people feel that Russia shouldn't have done that. There's no reason for them to cross the border and try to take over another country, no matter what the history was. And I think people just really feel like they were, as a country, Ukraine was just minding their own business, if you will, and this has happened. And then you look at the fallout from all this, all the death and destruction, and just, you know, you hate war anyway. Everybody does. I mean, I don't, you know, it's not a good thing. But this is going to probably be a lot more than just Ukraine, is what my worry is. And that's what I hear from people, that what comes next? You know, what, you know, is Russia going to back off? Probably not. Is this going to escalate in some way and draw the United States into it? Hopefully not. But I think there's a lot of unanswered questions about where we go from here, you know, from the United States, but just the world. And it's just been great to see that outpouring of support for Ukraine. And, you know, it's just a really ugly thing that falls on top of the fact that we're just coming out of the pandemic. Look at the price of oil. I mean, just everything is in turmoil because of this. And the sooner it gets resolved in a positive way, the better. And I just don't see that happening in the short term. That's just me, though. You know, a little, I don't know as much about that as a lot of people do, but I'm hearing that same message from others.
I know Governor Holcomb is exploring severing ties with Russia. He's in a gathering of data right now. Do you support that? And do you know if that would affect much there in Terre Haute or Vigo County?
I don't think it would affect us much in any way. And I think the more sanctions, the better. I know that may, you know, escalate things in different ways, but a message needs to be sent that you just don't go take over other countries. And I, whatever that message, however it gets through, that's what needs to happen. And so, you know, Indiana, I'm fine with that. I can't do much here locally because we just don't have those kinds of relationships or situations, but I think it's important to send a unified message.
You mentioned this, you know, gas prices skyrocketing now, one of the effects, and it could set off a, you know, a chain reaction, you know, transportation costs, people's cash flow. Of course, summer is coming up. So how does a city, you know, budget for that? Because obviously maybe that's something you didn't think about in making the budget last year.
Yeah, no, not at all. And, you know, prices have been up a little bit last year, so we kind of anticipated some increase, but nothing like what we're seeing. And so it's always kind of a stab in the dark, but most years you're fine, you know, but this is going to be an example where we're spending about twice as much a month that we normally spend. And so it's a lot. It's going to add up to be quite a bit this year. It depends on how long it lasts. Hopefully it'll start coming down at some point, but we'll have to appropriate some money because, you know, those budgets are, most of our budgets are pretty tight anyway, with a little bit of room to play. But when you have double the expense on something like gasoline, especially for the police department, and street department, and others that are constantly, their vehicles are moving all the time, we're going to eat into that budget pretty good. But luckily, we've got reserves. We can deal with that. I'm not worried about it, other than it makes us do something that we normally don't do, is appropriate new funds. It's pretty rare for us to do that.
So it appears that the Indiana personal business personal property tax is a big sticking point still between the chambers. A lot of the testimony Monday focused on that tax. And of course, we talked to Columbus Mayor Jim Linup last week. He thought maybe that that was going to go away. Business community supports, of course, tax cuts, but say that local governments wouldn't feel the effect for that for years. And you've said differently in the past.
Well, you know, at least this version is stretched out a little bit, where in the past it wasn't. So that's progress, I guess, from my perspective. You know, it's when you step back and just look at it and you look at where our funding sources come from, we've reduced the amount of reliance on property taxes. Okay. We've dealt with that. We've adjusted our budgets and moved forward accordingly. If you take another big piece away, roughly our amount would be about 20% of the whole property tax pie, which is business personal property tax and real property tax. I mean, if we lost another 20% of our income, whenever that comes, even if it's done over time, it's still going to be a significant hit, because it's pretty much what we pay out of those funds, salaries and benefits. You know, we're paying the light bill, we're paying our insurance, we're paying for fuel. It's just the operations of the city. We're not doing anything special with those tax dollars. We're just providing services and paying for the people that do that. And so it's a little frustrating for me. I was at the State House last week, had a lot of great meetings with our delegation, got to meet with the Speaker, Lieutenant Governor. We chatted about this, talked about ready grants and a variety of other things. But at the end of the day, Indiana is one of the least taxed states in the United States. We're in a great spot. And to eliminate this and just say, well, you know, locals suck it up and raise the local option income tax. We don't want to put that burden on our people here locally. We want to share that. And, you know, when the businesses, I realize they want to cut the taxes, I get it. I completely understand. But there's got to be a way to replace that for us, so we don't have to go raise or ask the county to raise local option income tax, or we have to raise fees on people in order to make it up. That's what the awkwardness is. It comes down from Indy, and then we're left to deal with it. So I'm hopeful that it won't pass. I mean, we're getting down to the end here now. We'll see. Or if it does, it's stretched way out. But I'm still looking for replacement revenue. I'd love for them to come up with some way to offset that. And I'm going to stand on that hill and shout that as long as I can, because I feel very strongly about this one.
Yeah, sure. So it sounds like, from what I understand, they did change from being a something that would be cut next year to a more gradual cut.
And I knew that was in the discussions, but until the session's over, I guess, you know, we'll see. Yeah. It's changed multiple times over the years, really, but even in this session. So I'm hopeful that it'll have a minimal impact, or they delayed it for another year and the conversation will pick up again in the future.
So you might have an update with us on the casino progress. Last month, Churchill Downs applied for a site off the interstate. I think that happened right after we talked. Your thoughts on that location?
Yeah, so it's a good location. You know, I've supported that being out east, and especially in the TIF district, which provides us some funding sources to be able to make future improvements out there, whether it's needed for the casino or for the other businesses out there. They'll feed into that TIF district, which will be really good. It's a great spot. You know, it's a secondary spot to where the you know, the Hard Rock was originally going to be located. It's about two blocks west. So it's right in the same area, right on Margaret Avenue with, you know, visibility from I-70. So it meets all that important criteria to for them to be able to market themselves and you know, and contribute back to the community. The city council approved the rezoning last week, area planning in the city council. There's a board of zoning appeals component still left and some subdivision of the property that'll be going for an area planning. But those are, you know, just normal steps in the process. So hopefully that'll be wrapped up here later this month. I know they go in front of the gaming commission this week and with the new site. And so all that should be okay. It's finally kind of, you know, a few little legal hurdles here, if you will, but they're telling us late May, early June groundbreaking and open up in the fourth quarter of next year. So I'm excited that we can say that again. I said that in the past, you know, with the original proposal, but now this new one that's been approved is seems to be moving along at a rapid pace.
And I know the location is not something that is brought up by the city or has any impact on it. I guess you could say it or recommend any place you want, but it's really up to the gaming commission and the casino.
Exactly. All we could do was make suggestions, and the public made those same suggestions, but strictly up to them and the gaming commission. That is 100% accurate.
Do you worry or just curious about your thoughts about though not bringing that downtown and bringing business downtown?
No, you know, that was the old model, you know, of casinos a long time ago to either be on the riverfront, you know, be in that downtown vicinity. But I think casinos have figured out the best place for them to be is out by the interstate somewhere where they can, you know, people can easily get to them. Yeah, you lose a little bit of the ability to sell the community and show off the community when they're not somewhere in the main heart of the community. But I feel like this is going to do what it needs to do and be successful in that location, which in turn then means more revenues for the city and the county and the school corporation, everybody that participates in this, that we can all then invest in ourselves. And so I think it's the best fit to generate the most local income for us.
The convention center is expected to open next month. How is it looking, and will the public be able to get a chance to take a look?
Yeah, we'll have a ribbon cutting and very soon on the 9th of April. And I'm excited for the public to see it. You know, some people go in and take some pictures and things they wrote, but it doesn't really do you justice until you walk in there. And, you know, it's first class. It looks great. That whole area is improved with this addition. It's going to be exciting, you know, and I still get a few people saying, well, how are we going to bring a convention to Terry? We know that they're coming, and this gives us a tool that we've never had before, a place for them to go. And the Holiday Inn used to have some small convention space, and when they remodeled years ago, we have nothing now. And so, you know, people can rent Holman Center and sit on the floor, but there's no big space that we need to be able to do the kind of things we'd love to do. And so it's going to take off now. Once we get it open, you begin to market it in a different way so people can come and use it. And you start getting the word of mouth. It's going to take off. And so I'm excited. It's been a long process. I've been involved in this probably about 7 years now. And just to see it come to fruition is an awesome feeling for me personally and the entire community.
Any word on how bookings are coming?
Yeah, I think they've got 6 booked for this year. You know, we're intentionally pacing ourselves. We need more hotel rooms. So we're working with the hotel developer. In order to bring the bigger stuff, we need many more hotel rooms than our 2 hotels can provide. And so that'll be the next big part of all of this is getting the 2 new hotels built. And then we'll be able to really go for the bigger events. And so, you know, it's a process.
Just curious if you have any advice to the people in officials in Monroe County who've been trying to get a convention center off the ground for many, many, many years too, and just can't seem to turn the corner.
Well, it was a challenge for us at first too, just because it was kind of a new concept. I mean, it was really, people were like, the convention center in Terre Haute? I mean, we started out with that to where we are today. And it was a process to create the CID, find the funding sources. You know, that was a challenge. We had to get that food and beverage tax. We had to have a commitment from the city and the county and from the Convention and Tourism Bureau to commit to, you know, invest every year the money to make the bond payments. And so we put a good package together. We had a few bumps in the road along the way, but we overcame all of those, getting it built, soon to be open. And there's a great success story there, but it's one of those that doesn't happen overnight. And you got to have a lot of local collaboration.
You had your annual city update a couple weeks ago. Something I saw making headlines, the sewer rates going up, and that for a couple years due to these unfunded mandates. And this is just something we've talked about probably before I was even on this show covering in Terre Haute, was all the sewer infrastructure that had to happen there in Terre Haute. Now you're looking to the next step.
Yep. So we're renegotiating our long-term control plan with IDEM, beginning those negotiations as we speak. And it's probably going to be $300 million worth of work, hopefully over the next 30 years, which, stretching it out, normally they commit to 20-year plans, but we're asking for 30 so we can delay some of those rate increases. We have no choice. You know, they make you do this. It's an unfunded mandate. Maybe someday there'll be some funding that'll work its way down to communities like ours. But right now we have to generate our own revenue to pay the bills. And there's a lot more work that needs to be done. Our sewer system was built back in the 1800s. And so, as you can imagine, our collection system needs work. The plant's in great shape, but we have to build some facilities to hold stormwater and then treat it later. And so, you know, we've done a lot, but there's a lot more to go. And so I mentioned that in my update because I want people to know that we're not done. I have people walk up to me periodically and say, now that you've done all these investments, when will our sewer rate go down? And I'm like, it's not going to go down. You know, it's not going down anywhere. And fortunately, you know, our residential bill is under $50 a month. It's still there. And it's going to have to go up some, but we want to move that out and do small increases along the way instead of do the bigger ones that we had to do in the past, because we've got a more strategic plan. As long as IDEM approves it, we'll be able to stage those out over the coming years and not have it all at once.
And, you know, I think the number one question people ask when they hear, oh, my rates are going up, do you have a little bit of more data on what that would be?
No, because we're still doing the research. We kind of know roughly what it needs to be, but we're required to spend 2% of the household median income. That's a federal requirement. That's a minimum. You can't be below 2%. Some communities, they make you spend more than 2%. And so that's one of our negotiating tools, is to look at that. And we kind of know what we need depending on if they approve the plan. If they move some of those big projects out farther for us, allow us to do that, then we'll have very small increases. But if they make us do some big stuff up front, we'll have to have a little bit larger increase. So that's why we still don't have the unknowns until the plan is approved by the state and the EPA, basically. More to come on that.
As always.
Nobody needs to fret, though. It's going to be, I don't think we're going to have to do anything until 24. I really don't. And because we just need time. You're going to have to design the stuff that they approve, and we have money on hand to do a lot of that. And there's no reason to hurry up and raise rates when we don't need that. And so we want to do it when we must do it in order to bond out to do the next big thing.
I know we're getting short on time. I always want to get a budget update too. Any end of 2021 general fund update. Now, remember, we used to talk about tax anticipation warrant loans to meet a deadline, I think, in April. Any update on that?
So we reduced our borrowing. You know, just a few short years ago, we borrowed $9 million of short-term loans. But we've reduced that now down to $2.5 million. So we need a little cushion, because once again, we don't get our big paychecks till May from property taxes. And so we get a little bit of income each month. So the first 6 months of the year are always the toughest for any municipality, unless you've got significant reserves. So one thing that's happened is we've reduced our borrowing because our reserves continue to grow. At the end of this year, I'm hopeful that I'll have a 12% cash reserve on operating funds, which that's the state's target. And that's what our target's been. So we're right in where we need to be. We ended the year pretty well, about 3.4 million roughly in the general fund, 3.2, 3.4. There's some final adjustments to be made before the audit, but so we've turned that around from a negative 9 million, almost 10 million in 2015 to a positive 3.4 million just in the one general fund. But we've got 90 other funds too. So all of them are doing much better. We're in very solid ground financially.
We got about a minute or so left. I always like to kind of leave the stage open to you. Any announcements or things that you like people to know?
Well, there's some things. I'm really excited about our economic development. And as I announced last, you know, a couple of weeks ago in my city update, we've had $561 million of investment announced in about 8 different companies that are coming here. Just in the last 12 months, those have been announced, 900 new jobs. That does not include the casino. That's going to be $185 million of investment and 600 new jobs, not counting the 100,000 construction workers for a year and a half. But then just this week, I've found out about 3 or 4 more that we're either finalists for in the final 2 or 3, or they're just waiting to sign the paperwork. And so we've got more jobs coming, more investment. I still worry about workforce. I mean, our pool needs to be bigger. We need more folks over here in West Central Indiana, but we're doing really well on that economic development front in spite of COVID. You know, these businesses are beginning to move forward with their projects and invest, and that makes me very excited because you're going to continue to see more and more investment in Terre Haute and Vigo County.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. And we'll see you hopefully maybe in person if you're okay with that. And we're all, you know, and still on good ground in April.
Yeah, I am. And look forward to seeing you in person, Joe.
Okay. Same here. Thank you very much.